Mike Effect continues on WUWM Now. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. When Jeanne Gaffigan takes the stage at Marquette University's commencement this Sunday, it'll almost feel like a victory lap. Gaffigan graduated from Marquette back when she was Jeanne Noth. She's been a comedy writer for years since then.
But the commencement speech, which she'll make with her husband, comedian Jim Gaffigan, is also a return to the stage following surgery to remove a life-threatening brain tumor last year. Jeanne, who grew up in Milwaukee, and Jim Gaffigan collaborate on much of Jim's stand-up material, but she was solo when we caught up with her via Skype from New York. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you for having me.
Can you talk about what humor was like around the Noth household for you growing up in these parts?
I think that it was just like a basic element of survival, just like eating or sleeping. I think that when you have a full house, you need to survive with wit because it's easy to get lost in the shuffle. So we all developed kind of this, creative way of communicating with each other. And also my mom and dad are really funny. Like my mom has more of a over-the-top sense of humor and my dad is very dry and subtle. So all of us have a little bit of a combo of it.
Well, and did volume have to play into it as well when you had that many people around?
It definitely did. Volume was a big part of the performance of our conversations.
I ask partly because I'm just interested, but also because you have a large household now, and I'm wondering whether the vibe around the Gaffigan home today, at least when you're all in one place, compares to what it was like growing up in the Noth household in the 80s.
It does kind of compare, but you have to remember the Noth household was double the size of the Gaffigan household. So I have no idea how we all actually even made it through grade school. Cause I'm always like calling my mom going, Mom, how did none of us die? Because it's, it's a constant battle to be like, don't do that. Don't run in the street. Don't, there's a lot of don'ts. And there's a lot of kids. So, but at the same time, we do have a very lively household. And, I think my husband, who's basically the youngest of six, I'm the oldest of nine. So I guess that oldest youngest thing is kind of a thing. Birth order, like I'm kind of a caretaker and he's kind of like to get care taken of. I think that he thinks that I sort of have this perpetual need to recreate the chaos of my childhood by taking on way too much work and having too many kids and all this stuff, but he's kind of enjoying the ride. So I think that we kind of learned survival and we learned how to get through things with humor. And I'm a big, fan of big families.
Your current big family forms a significant part of yours and Jim's humor. But what strikes me about it as I listen to it is it's in general terms. You don't seem to or Jim does not seem to expose any one of your children directly in terms of the humor, which I would imagine is intentional. You're using them, but you're not using them.
I mean, I think that it's I will say that we do point out, my 8-year-old or my 9-year-old, we do individual shout outs here and again. But as you know, everyone passes through these kind of similar phases and with such different personalities, we have different behavior associated with each kid. So, but there are a lot of similarities with like 5-year-old behavior in general. So, it's kind of more of an observation that is timeless, that kind of live in time for even, someone who remembers their kid being 5 or has a 5-year-old or had a 5-year-old or will have a 5-year-old, just kind of to keep everything universal. And we kind of, our humor is observational. So it's usually what is right in front of us. So obviously when Jim and I didn't have any kids, we didn't write about kids. When I didn't have a brain tumor, we didn't write about brain tumors, and it's just sort of like, we just sort of, our comedy is kind of the lens with which we look at life.
It's interesting. I was thinking about, comedy at some level and for some people, really shapes how we see the world, right?
Absolutely. It shapes how we see the world, and it shapes like how we process, how the world sees us.
I mean, yeah, I my aforementioned son, who turns 10 tomorrow, is really one part fourth grader and one part Jim Gaffigan quote machine. But as I watch him get older, it's really interesting to see how he has gone from, you know, Bonus Fry and Hot Pocket references to his own material. But that material is really informed by the funny people he watches and listens to.
That's very flattering. And that's good, because you want to have a positive influence. You don't want to be like, you know, my son started smoking crack because he saw Jim Gaffigan do it. So I'm happy to hear that.
So you and Jim are giving this commencement address at Marquette as a team, which is something that you did a few years ago, I think, at Catholic University.
That's right.
First of all, how did that address go?
That was one of the best experiences of my life. I mean, it's such a unique experience to be able to stand up in front of a group of people who have just achieved this fantastic milestone in their lives, and their loved ones around them, you know, everyone's looking up at the stage, and it's just this really overwhelming feeling of like love and gratitude that makes, what I do in my life just so much better. And I'm very grateful for the experience.
And at some level, you have to go into it thinking that you are there as part of what is one of the most important experiences in these kids' lives.
It's such an honor, and I'm so grateful for it.
Well, so when you think about what a commencement speech does and what it has to do with comedy, do you see, is there kind of a Venn diagram overlap in terms of, helping shape how someone looks at the world from that point on?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that, and that really comes out with how lucky we are to be part of a team, because doing a team commencement speech is really a fun experience. And what it also does is that, talk about the Venn diagram, is that that crossover, that middle part that has heart and humor, is, I think, probably easier to achieve with two people doing it. Because, I don't want to take anything away from our Catholic youth speech, but when there's a lot of stuff that you want to impart, like a lot of what a commencement speech is being like, okay, I went through this already, and this is how I see the world, and this is what's helped me in my life, and this is what I want to impart to you. And then there's also the fact that it is really early in the morning, everybody wants to go to their party, and you don't want to bore them. So that's where the humor comes in. It's like every commencement speech that is a good commencement speech has elements of entertainment in it. And so you're also entertaining people while you're conveying this, important pearl of wisdom, hopefully, that that is important for people to hear, and that that you've been honored to be asked to give them. So you want to honor that, but you also want to entertain people and make it, a fun experience that everyone can kind of interact with and understand.
It was nice that the Pearl of Wisdom alarm went off as you said that.
Oh, good. That's a built-in alarm that I like to have around.
Well, and not to give away any spoilers from the speech, but you and your family with you have gone through a lot since the last time you got up on stage to give a commencement speech. You mentioned the brain tumor that you went through, and this has to play into how you see, first of all, how you see the world from here on out, and also the kinds of things that you can, the lessons that you can impart to graduating college students.
Absolutely. It doesn't, there's that's kind of a funny observation too, because hopefully not a lot of the graduates are going to ever have to go through anything like that, but it really does inform it. And it completely transformed my life. It wasn't like I was like a degenerate, like drug addict or something before. And now I'm like, oh, I see the light, but it really did shape my perspective in everything. And I think that without having had that experience, it would be really great to have, and, you know, I also say Jim had the experience too, because he's my partner and we went through it together. So, you know, there's, I'm writing a book right now and I'm recalling seeing, the people waiting to go into surgery in the waiting room and the, you know, many, many, many people that were about to have surgeries at Mount Sinai Hospital that day. And it was very difficult because it was pre-check-in. So no one was like in a hospital gown. So it was very difficult to know which person was having the surgery and which person was the caregiver, because both of them looked like they were about to go through something really traumatic. So that said, when I say what I went through, I mean what we went through, Jim and I went through, and our whole family went through. It's because we went through it. And I think that on the other side, especially with the success of the surgery and the pretty much miraculous recovery that I am enjoying right now, it's just going to shape the way that, you know, I see everything and the Jim sees everything and what we would want to impart onto the graduates. And not that Marquette should be bragging that they're going to get a better speech than Catholic U did, but they kind of are, because even though I feel like our message at Catholic U was really profound and fun and funny, and the theme of it was about working together, it was almost like I would say a premonition of what was about to happen. It was like a kind of a foreshadowing, because we talked about how right now everyone is kind of at that point where, I mean, the very few people have their life partner when they're, you know, graduating college. But so most people are like, this is me against the world. I'm going out there with my diploma. And that speech was really geared towards, look at the people around you who love you. You couldn't have been here without them. You couldn't have been here without your professors. And Jim and I could not have done what we've done in our lives without each other. So it's other people and relationships that are really the things that are going to carry you through your life. You can't do everything alone. No one is Superman, right? So ironically, that's what carried us through the biggest challenge of our life, which we hadn't even known that we were about to face. So coming out on the other side, we have a new perspective and a new message for the Marquette graduates.
Well, and in a way, it sounds like, you know, without even realizing it, you were kind of laying the groundwork for being able to get through that really hard period by doing that speech, you know, a couple of years before.
It really, really was the type of thing where, in retrospect, you go, wow, it was about being together and about relationships and about carrying each other through the most difficult times in life. And then, lo and behold, you know, like months later, we are faced with something that we needed each other for, and we came out victorious. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for Jim and my family to have helped, you know, carry me through that really devastating illness.
I think a lot of people that you've never even met are grateful.
Thank you very much.
Jeannie Gaffigan, first of all, let me say continued good health. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And as the book comes together, I hope you can repeat what your brother did and come visit us in the studio.
It's a date.
Jeannie and Jim Gaffigan will deliver the commencement address at Marquette University this weekend. Jeannie grew up in Milwaukee and graduated from Marquette. She's also the sister of New Yorker cartoonist Paul Noth, who we spoke to last month about his middle grade novel. You can find a link to that interview at wuwm.com.